الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi. In one narration, our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I hear the recitation of Salat, which is read by my lovers, my devotees, and I also recognize them as well. So this should be enough encouragement, incentive for us, that whenever we recite Salat, the Prophet ﷺ hears it. And not only that, he knows who is reciting as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions, inshallah, before listening to the bayan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. That actions are based upon intentions. What intention should we make before listening to the bayan? First and foremost, we should say that, oh Allah, I am listening to this bayan just to earn your pleasure, just to earn your rida, inshallah. Also make the intention that whatever you hear from the bayan, you will try your utmost to remember it, to act upon it, and to convey it to others as well, inshallah. And remember, there are many things that help in retaining knowledge whilst we're learning them. We have to avoid all forms of distraction, of course. If we're listening to the bayan and at the same time we're tempted to take our phone out every 2-3 minutes to read a message, a notification arrives, then we will lose the barakat of the bayan. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to make good intentions in abundance. Hujjatullahi ala al-alameen. This is a book authored by a great scholar of the past century, Allama Yusuf bin Ismail Nabhani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And in this book, he mentions many mu'jizat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also reports many karamat, saintly miracles of the awliya. So I would like to begin the bayan by mentioning a miracle. And through this miracle, you will know who the bayan will be about. Meaning which Islamic personality, which blessed personality we'll be discussing today. So the account is as follows. Once the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem, was present in the house of Allah, meaning Baytullah al-Haram, Ka'batullah, Ka'ba Sharif in Makkah al-Mukarrama, with his two pious sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, radiyallahu anhuma. Whilst there, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala saw an individual who was paralyzed in half of his body. He was in hardship, he was suffering. So Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu asked for that man to be brought to him. That man, crawling, dragging his legs, came to Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Sayyiduna Ali, Karramallahu Wajhahul Kareem, asked him, O person, what happened to you? How come you're in this state? What's the reason? And he says, in the past, I was engrossed in sins day and night, so much so that my father, who's a very pious individual, a very God-fearing individual, he would counsel me, he would admonish me and say, son, stop doing these sins, stop committing sins. And every single time, I would reject what my father would say to me. Until one day, I committed a sin, and my father again was angry with me and he told me off. And the son is narrating, he says, that day I lost my anger. And I severely beat my father. Na'udhu billah. And when I beat up my father went towards Makkah al-Mukarrama, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he made bad-du'a against me. He cursed me in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, punish my son. And he says that as soon as my father did that, since that day I've been suffering from paralysis in half of my body. And this is why you see me in this state. He continues and he says, afterwards I was remorseful, I was penitent, I was regretful. I begged my father for forgiveness. I said, oh father, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have hit you. Please forgive me. Look what's happened to me. The father, obviously a father has a love for his son. Regardless of how disobedient that son is, there's still that mahabba. When the father saw that the son is begging him for forgiveness, he had pity on his state, he had mercy upon him, and he said, I forgive you, and now let's go back to Makkah al-Mukarrama, and there where I cursed you in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you became ill, you began to suffer from paralysis, I will make dua in that very same noble place, before Kaaba al-Musharrafa, and I'll pray to Allah that he cures you. And the son said, that's amazing. What more can I ask for? So both the father and son set out on this journey towards Makkah al-Mukarrama and towards Masjid al-Haram, Baytullah. On the way, the ride that the father was on, for some reason got scared. And very violently began to move from left to right until it threw off the father, it fled. The father fell between two rocks and succumbed to his death. Fell to his death. He died. Now the son says, obviously this tragic incident happened. The son made his way however he could towards Makkah al-Mukarrama. His father has departed from the world. His father has died. And now he's telling Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh that this is why I'm not gaining cure, because my father has passed away. He was coming with the intention of making dua of shifa for me, but he has died. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, if what you're saying is true, your father left on good terms with you, then don't worry, nothing will happen, inshallah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala then got up, performed salah with the intention of making dua for this person, this paralyzed person. And then when he had finished, he turned to the man, the paralyzed man, and he said to him, Qum, stand. And subhanallah, the person immediately stood, and any sign and trace of paralysis had disappeared and vanished. This was the rank of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But before we touch upon that, we learn from this admonishing account that people who disobey their parents, and here we heard about someone who disobeyed his father to the extent that he hit his own father. His father made bad-du'a, cursed him, and he became disabled, became paralyzed. In this day and age, there's no shortage of people who, ma'azallah, disobey their parents. In fact, youth, they feel that their parents are a burden, some youth. And ma'azallah, they're probably even thinking of the day when their parents are not there. But little do they know that whilst their parents are alive, that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go to their mother, they go to their father, they ask their father to raise his hands, make dua for them, the dua will be accepted. Because from amongst those people whose dua accepted, the scholars have mentioned a father's dua for the son, for the child. Similarly, a mother's dua. Time does not permit, but who doesn't know about the account of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, when he lost his eyesight? Today, we know Imam Bukhari as the greatest hadith scholar of this ummah. But do you know he was blind at one stage in his life? His mother made dua for him day and night, the time of tahajjud, and Allah Ta'ala restored his eyesight. And he became the greatest hadith scholar of this ummah due to the barakah of his mother's dua. So whilst our parents are alive, let alone causing them harm, we should sit at their feet and ask them to make dua of maghfirah for us. Make dua of blessings for us. Make dua of barakah for us. But who has time for this nowadays? Unfortunately. So, disobedience to parents leads to all sorts of consequences. As you heard in this account, the person became paralyzed in half of his body. And then he realized that my dua, my father's dua rather, has led to this. He did dua against me. Now he will do dua for me and I'll gain cure. But as we heard, his father passed away on the way to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala showed his miracle, his karama, saintly miracle, in that he performed two rakat, he made dua for that person's healing, and then told him to stand. And that person stood, and there was no sign of any illness or paralysis with him. This shows the high rank, the rank of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, which is matchless, which is unparalleled. Inshallah, we will be hearing more about this great personality. As you know, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is the paternal cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother's name, Sayyidatuna Fatima bint Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha. His mother was so honored that when she passed away, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went into her grave and made dua for her. Lowered her into the grave and made dua for her, supplicated for her. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had many titles, as we know. He had many different names as well. One of his titles was Haydar, Sher-e-Khuda, Karrar, Mushkil Kusha. These are all titles which Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is famously known by. And subhanallah, when you look at this amazing personality, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and you look at his life, you read about his success, his achievements, and when you analyze, you will say the root of all that, the cause of all that, the suburb of all of that, was the fact that subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. We know in narrations that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam placed his own saliva in his mouth when he was a child. This barakah alone, subhanallah, is matchless, unparalleled. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked after him, raised him at the age of 10 when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performing salah. It's recorded in the books that he embraced Islam at the age of 10, the first child to embrace Islam. Throughout his life, he accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know eventually, Allah ta'ala ordained for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to marry the honorable daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this man of great virtue, in hadith he's been described as Madinatul Ilm, the city of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam once addressed Sayyidina Ali and said, "You are to me like Harun was to Musa, except there's no prophet after me." So look at the closeness of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So many ayat kareema of Al-Quran al-Kareem were revealed in praise of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. If you read the tafaseer of so many verses, you will find the mufassirun have said this verse was revealed regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. His praise is mentioned in Al-Quran al-Kareem. So when Allah ta'ala is praising him, how can we do justice? How can we speak about him in such a way that we do justice? We can never do justice. But we will continue mentioning his praise. Why? Because this is sa'adat for us. When we mention Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, inshallah our sins are being forgiven. Our ranks are being raised. We hear about mercy descending when you mention the pious, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was one of the most pious. Let me mention an account regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And look at this unique fadila he has. Look at this excellence he possesses that no other sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possesses. And this being a case, what I'm about to mention is a juzwi fazilat of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Meaning, this is a partial excellence of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu over all of the other sahaba. It's mentioned, Allah ta'ala says in Al-Quran al-Kareem, Surah Mujadala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة. Translation: O people who believe, when you wish to humbly consult with the noble messenger, give some charity before your consultation. What happened was that people would flock towards the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to ask questions. Obviously, he is Muallimul Kainat. He is the most knowledgeable in all of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahaba would try to take full advantage of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bu'ithtu Mu'allima. I was sent by Allah Ta'ala as a teacher. And look at the level of teaching provided by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he taught Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and she became such a grand scholar of Islam that many notable Sahaba would go and they would consult with Sayyidah Aisha about Islamic matters, about matters of halal and haram, about matters of the deen. They would consult and ask her about them. Why? Because she was directly taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So Sahaba would come. And what would happen is a lot of the wealthy people, wealthy amongst the Sahaba, they would more than often get the chance to ask. And sometimes what would happen is the less privileged or the poorer of the Sahaba in terms of mal, they wouldn't be able to ask their questions. So Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. That, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, when you want to consult with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then before your consultation, give some sadaqah. And this was applicable to whom? Those who had wealth from the Sahaba. Those who were wealthy from the Sahaba, they would have to give sadaqah before they could consult and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about matters. What happened? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala had wealth at that time. And this verse applied to him. So he gave sadaqah as mentioned in this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question. As soon as he asked his question, this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem became abrogated. Mansukh. Meaning there are some ayat of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. In terms of tilawat, we read them, we gain reward for them. They're still obviously part of Al-Quran Al-Kareem that we have. But in terms of amal, in terms of ahkam, those ahkam are no longer applicable. So as soon as Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala acted upon this verse of the Quran, straight after Allah Ta'ala revealed to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem is no longer applicable. The hukum derived from this verse will no longer be applied. Now think about that for a moment. This verse of Surah Mujadala, in all of the ummah, from the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till now. Right now, there's over 1 billion Muslims in the world. Maybe even 2 billion, Allah knows best. But imagine how many Muslims there have been since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way till now. Billions and billions of Muslims. From all of those Muslims, only one blessed Sahabi, blessed personality, radiallahu ta'ala an, had the honor of acting upon this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And who was that? That was none other than Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Meaning he can say that from the entire Muslim ummah, the only person who acted upon this verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem and who gave sadaqah before asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question was him. Now this fadila, if you think for a moment, if you ponder for a moment, you will realize the greatness of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And this doesn't, we can't compare anything we do to that. You know, in this dunyavi life, sometimes we may even say, oh, I was the only person who had this honor, I was the only person to do this or do that. And people boast regarding this. But look at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he's the only Muslim in this ummah who had the good fortune of acting upon this verse of Surah Mujadala. So this is just one fazilat of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. In fact, great scholars like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu anhu and other scholars of Islam have said the number of narrations which have appeared in relation to the dhat of Sayyidina Ali and his fadail, they have not appeared regarding any other Sahabi. Meaning they far exceed the number of narrations that have appeared for any other Sahabi. So you'll find in all books of hadith, chapters on the fadail of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's listen to another excellence. As I mentioned, there are verses of Al-Quran al-Kareem which were revealed regarding Sayyidina Ali. In one verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem, this is in Surah Tahreem, verse 4, part 28. Allah Ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: Allah is his helper, and Jibreel, and righteous believers, and also the angels are appointed as his helpers. First of all, it's apparent from this verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem that the creation does help. Some people are confused regarding this matter, and they're quick to say something is shirk, something is polytheism. Whereas the Quran is telling us that Allah is his helper, Jibreel is his helper, the righteous believers, the salih believers are his helper, and the angels are his helpers as well. Now here in this verse where it says, Salihul Mu'mineen, the righteous one from the believers, the righteous believer, it's narrated, and Allama Sayyid Mahmood Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that Sayyida Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, she heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, righteous believers in this verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem, Salihul Mu'mineen, this refers to Sayyiduna Ali Karramallahu Wajhul Kareem. Allah Ta'ala is alluding to Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Abu Ja'far, and this is in Ruhul Ma'ani, the tafsir. Sayyiduna Abu Ja'far has narrated, when this verse was revealed, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the hand of Sayyiduna Ali, and he said, he took Sayyiduna Ali's hand in his hand and he said, this is a righteous believer. Meaning he pointed towards Sayyiduna Ali and said, this is a righteous believer. So imagine that again. Verses of Al-Quran al-Kareem, the pre-eternal speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Quran al-Kareem, the greatest revealed book by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mentioning this. That the Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu an is a righteous believer. Today, regarding our piety, at most, maybe our parents can do tasdeeq that my son is pious, my son is so-and-so. Or maybe your teacher, your ustad, or someone can say my student is very pious. But here, without comparison, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds, the master of all, the cherisher of all, the sustainer of all, the khaliq, he is saying that this verse is about, or he has revealed this verse, and the mufassirun say, and they quoted narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this verse is regarding Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. So this personality, alhamdulillah, is a great personality. Month of Rajabul Murajab. It was in this month when Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was born, on the 13th of Rajab to be exact, on a Friday. In one verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem, Allah talks about those who spend their wealth day and night, secretly and openly. الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًا وَعَلَانِيَةً فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who spend their wealth in charity, night and day, secretly and openly, then for them is a great reward. For them is their reward with their Lord, and there's no fear upon them, there's no grief upon them. One qawl, one opinion regarding this verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem also is that Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu is being referred to. He gave charity in the day, he gave charity in the night, he gave charity secretly, and he gave charity openly. So look, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is revealing verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem in praise of Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And remember, the maqsad behind mentioning these personalities is, number one, they are our heroes. They are our role models. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, khayrul quruni qarni, that the best era is my era. And who is that that's being referred to? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. They spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, day and night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, consulting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this i'zaz, this sharaf, this honor that they gained, No one in the Ummah thereafter can match that. This is why the Sahaba are the greatest of this Ummah. Khairul Quruni Qarni, the best era is my era. So we look towards Sayyidina Ali for guidance. His life is a means of enlightenment for us. He followed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was Muttabi'us Sunnah. He was one who avoided sins. He was one who gave fawqiyah and tarjih, priority to the deen over everything. He was the fourth Khalifa of Islam. He met martyrdom at the end, as we know. So these personalities, the reason why we mention them, number one, they are the best of all Muslims. And by mentioning the best of all Muslims, inshallah, we will gain mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, it's not just to hear about their rank, not just to hear about their excellence, but this should inspire us that inshallah, going forth, I will also fast like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu fasted. I will also give sadaqah day, night, in secret, openly. I will also do this as well. And in the past, it was probably more difficult to give sadaqah secretly. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, with the advent of technology and you have online transactions and you can transfer without nobody in the world knowing. But it's a test. Who will be sincere in this regard? Even when we do things secretly, we should not wish for that secret to ever be revealed as well. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, the king of the Sawaf, he says that it's also reprehensible if a person does things secretly, but secretly hopes at the same time that when I die or afterwards, people should be made aware of that. People should know about that. Why? It's between me and my Lord. It's between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do things secretly, if we do things just for His sake, that's fine. He knows. People are not going to reward. Allah ta'ala will reward. So going back to it, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who was a man whose life is a great example for us. And then alhamdulillah, look at the tarbiyah he did of his children. His children, Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Regarding whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. That Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are the leaders of all heavenly youth, all the youth in paradise. So the tarbiyah, that element we can't forget as well. What's the sketch with us today? We have kids as well. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us as well. Are we doing their right tarbiyah? Are we providing them with an Islamic environment at home? When it's time for salah, do we say to our child, come, let's do wudu, let's perform salah? What's the state? So these things all count, because remember, time flies by. Before we know it, children grow up. And that young age doesn't last forever. That age where you can mold your child into something. That they say, if you etch something on a stone, it will remain forever. If you engrave something on a stone. So a child is like that. It's a clear template. We can instill in the child whatever we want. But the question is, have we got the right mindset as well? Are we Muslims just by name or by action as well? So this is something that we should ponder about. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, his urs, as we know, is in Ramadan Kareem. He passed away. A great figure in Islam. Someone who inspires all. And in terms of his karamat are so many that time does not permit to mention him. Then his taqwa, his piety, his seeking halal sustenance, his accounts regarding each and everything that I've mentioned. His looking after his family, his being a responsible person, close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and I'll finish with this, was asked, how much do you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala replied and he said, we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than our children, more than our families, more than our own lives, and more than cold water when we're suffering from severe thirst. More than everything. That's a way of saying there's nothing that can come close to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salam, his mahabba is ghalib, is overwhelming, overpowering, dominating our hearts. And what is our state today? Do we have that same love? If not, alhamdulillah, whilst we're alive, whilst we're breathing, we can always try and better ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to follow such sahaba, eminent sahaba, like the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala al-wajhahu al-kareem. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala raises his ranks, forgives our sins for His sake, and unites us in the Akhirah and in Jannah as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.